And they say in Ayurveda, it's like the bouncing frog pulse. So the pitta pulse, the classic pitta pulse is like you can almost feel it by hovering your fingers over the skin. It's like boom, 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 like rapid bounding. If anyone wants to feel my pulse, I've got a really classic pitta pulse. But you can feel it's like a frog bouncing up, right? Like this. Whereas the kapha pulse is more like this. Right? Whereas the vata pulse is like this. Right? It's like intermittent, kind of all over the place. Kind of like scattered. So jumping, excited, prominent, hot, moderate, and regular. So the bouncing frog pulse. Boing, dun, 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 dun. Let's see if I got it right now. Yeah, I usually do. It's actually a little slower than usual. It's probably because I just ate dinner. So most of that fire is down in the stomach right now. Parasympathetic nervous system is a little more active, but oh, okay, now that I'm talking about it, it's like, okay. Oh. So that's the thing, you want people to be calm when you're taking their pulse, right? You're gonna say, okay, just like take a couple deep breaths. If someone gets all nervous before you take their pulse, it's gonna change. And it's really interesting, you can like, you know, feel someone's pulse and be like, okay, I want you to think about running from a saber-toothed tiger right now, and all of a sudden, dun, 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 dun. Okay, I want you to think of floating on the beach in the ocean in Hawaii, right? And Matthew actually, that's the way Matthew assesses a remedy. Take someone's pulse, and then you put a drop of the medicine on their wrist, and then you'll notice it shift. I think that's a way better to test for a remedy than muscle testing. It's a little bit more precise and you can tune into the different organs and see how that organ's gonna respond. One time we were at this conference, Matthew was doing some work with Whitney and he wanted to test these remedies and we had our booth set up and he was like, oh, do you have this plant? We wanna test for this plant. Do you have these ones? We had a handful of them, but some of them we didn't have. And he was like, okay, well, I'd like to test for those too. Do you have a pen and paper? He literally took a piece of paper, wrote the name of the plant on it, folded it up, took her pulse, and put the piece of paper in her hand and would test the remedy that way. And he goes, oh, this one was tested strong. Which one was it? He gave her the plant, and sure enough, it was like, bing. It was like, wow.
I know that when I go to get blood work or anything, they can't ever find my veins or my pulse, and I always get stuck several times.
Right.
And I'm usually really upset because they can't find it, because they can't feel it, they can't see it.
Right.
It's just invisible.
Right, yeah, and that's a classic kapha quality, right? Whereas me, like, I've got the classic pitta.
Yeah.
They don't even need to tie it off. They're like, oh, look at that big fat one right there. Like, yeah, I can almost, like, pinch that thing. Like.
So for the pulses, if somebody is... like kapha pitta, is it going to be kind of a blend of both, or do they usually have one that's more...
They'll typically have one that's a little bit more prominent. Yeah. Now, Ayurvedic pulse diagnostics can get extremely complex. Like, Vasant Lad wrote a whole book on it. I've talked to some people about it. Some of them say that that's kind of his own system that he kind of created. I mean, he'll do 7 levels. Like, in Chinese medicine, you have superficial and deep. Vasant Lad does 7 levels down with 3 positions. So, I mean, that's an insane number of pulses. That's like 7 times 3, 21. That's 42 pulse positions as compared to 12. And then he'll go into breaking up the finger. Oh, well, this is the kapha part of the finger. This is the pitta part of your finger. This is the vata part of the finger. So what part of the finger you're using to measure is going to determine it. It gets really complex. So me, I'm no master at pulse diagnostics, but I know the general principles and can, you know, I mean, to really get good at pulse, you got to take, it takes years to practice and you got to feel lots of pulses, lots and lots of pulses. So.
I pulse.
Yeah. okay, so, and that is something I encourage you to do. If you want to learn pulse diagnosis, just start asking your friends if you can read their pulse. Hey, do you mind if I practice? I just want to read your pulse. I read mine all the time. I'll read it before meals. Like, okay, there it is before meal. Then I'll eat and then I'll feel it again. Or I'll feel it before I take a medicine, take it, and then feel it again. Get in the habit of looking at your tongue, too.
I still have a hard time finding mine. I'm sitting here like, what is he talking about?
Right.
Like,
I yeah. Find it. Yeah. The, the obscure pulse.
Very soft.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay, so the tongue, the pitta tongue, typically what we're going to see is red color, flame-shaped. So I have a very, like, look at the shape of my tongue. See how it comes to that tip, like that? It's a classic pitta, flame-shaped tongue. But then with pittas, you're going to see a yellow, like, if there is a coating, it'll oftentimes be yellow. So the yellow coating always indicates heat. And then pittas can sometimes have oiliness to the tongue, but if they have a whole lot of heat, especially when you see pitta vata constitutions, they're going to have heat with dryness. So you can see the dryness there. I have a pretty dry tongue most of the time. So
pittas with dry tongues?
Yeah, they can, especially pitta vata. But I mean, technically, pitta has an oily quality, so sometimes you can see an oily sheen on the tongue, like a pure pitta. But of course, it depends on where they live too. Since I moved down here, my tongue is significantly drier. But I also have a pretty classic, like, tobacco smoker's tongue. So this is what Matthew says that all the time. Oh, you got a smoker's tongue.
What's a smoker's tongue?
Dry. Dry, with a little like irritation in the lungs, like a little
cracks,
vata. Yeah, well, it's pretty typical for people to have like oftentimes like a crack down the middle. Sometimes, that's like the digestive function in the spine. But cracks in general, yeah, dryness, excess vata. Okay. Oh, there's also another note on the face. So vata is the upper part of the face here, from like here up. Pitta is here. Kapha is here. So oftentimes kapha, you'll see more predominant lower part of the face. Pittas, you'll see more predominant here. Vatas, you can see like high, like a higher forehead oftentimes. So that's just another thing to be aware of. You can divide the whole body in various sectors of three, break it into the doshas like that. So, imbalancing forces, hot spicy foods, oily foods, all imbalance pitta. When aggravated, we'll see a yellow discoloration of the urine. Actually, the urine, like pitta urine, is going to be like dark, yellow and kind of burning, like a burning sensation. If you get really dark yellow urine that's hot, you just drink more water. unless it's bright yellow because you're taking a bunch of B vitamins or something. So, extreme hunger, thirst, any burning sensations, difficulty sleeping, heat, inflammation, fever. Kind of acidic conditions, hives, rashes, all manner of itises, right? So any type of itis is inflammation. So it's a key thing we'll see there with pitta, musculoskeletal pain. Okay, so the good tastes for pitta are bitter, sweet, and astringent. Pitta rules the summer seasons. Many pittas are aggravated in the summertime. That can be really good information that you can gather from an interview also? Is it better or worse in warmth or cold? Better or worse in the winter or the summer? Oh, that symptom always comes up in the winter. Oh, okay. Oh, it always comes up in the summer. So that can be really helpful information. So with pizzas, we want to really avoid excessive pungent, spicy foods, too much oil, too much salt. We want like cooling foods, right? Cucumbers and berries and melons and salads and really nice things to cool them off. Of course, all they want is spicy Thai food and Mexican food and burritos and hot peppers and yeah, right, bunch of oil. Yeah, I know I'm that way. So let's see.
How can that actually like throw off your constitution if you're strong pitta and you're like super into salt, super into hot, and super into
Yeah, well, it's just gonna aggravate pitta. Yeah.
Do you think if you got too cooling though, it could like, I don't know, also aggravate it? Fire.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you do, yeah, it's all about balance, right? It's trying to find the healthy medium there, right? That's where the Vata Pitta constitution is really difficult to balance, because with you want to cool down the heat of the Pitta, but then you don't want to cool the Vata down too much. Then you want to warm up the Vata, but not so much that you dry them out. Right, so it's really the Pitta-Vata constitution. Well, Vata in general is difficult, but Pitta-Vata in particular can be kind of tricky.
It's really hard. That's what I am. I've been trying to figure out what to eat and what to do for a long time. And, like, I started using some bitters, and that was helping with the Pitta, but then the Vata got worse.
Yep. Right, because that's the whole polarity with Pitta and Vata, is that you want to cool one down, but then it'll make the other one cold, and you want to warm that one up, but then it'll start to get too hot, and then you start to... Right? Yep. Yeah, so it's tricky. That's why dosha means that which goes out of balance. Pitta plants, mid-sized, red, orange, yellow, warm colors, south-facing slopes, prominent showy flowers, sharp, serrated, intense, pungent, volatile, aromatic, diaphoretics, stimulants, carminatives, warming actions. Those are all going to be pitta qualities that we'll see. And lastly, we come to vata. This will be our closing section for the evening. Air and ether element. There corresponds to the mercury principle in alchemy and the mutable mode in astrology. So, whereas kaphas are thick, pittas are medium, vatas are thin. So we're going to see the primary physical characteristics of a vata type constitution is they tend to be physically underdeveloped, so they can tend to be very thin. They tend to be emaciated, or remember, vata is cold and dry and light. So vatas, we're going to see very slender builds. They tend to have like smaller chests, where like a kapha has like more of a broad chest, a pitta's in the middle. Vatas will oftentimes see like a almost like really, like if you've ever seen like a really thin skinny man who almost their chest almost looks like it caves in a little bit. Have anyone ever seen that before? Right, that's a classic vata chest. Veins and tendons tend to be visible, so you're going to see like really long slender limbs, long fingers with prominent joints. The skin's going to feel cold to the touch and can oftentimes feel dry and rough, like really dry, rough skin. The hair can be kind of thin or curly or like really frizzy hair, like kind of dry, frizzy hair. Can be a vata quality there, or just like really thin hair, thin eyelashes, thin eyebrows, really dainty thin earlobes. Especially when you kind of sometimes you see those earlobes that will connect straight back to the neck. That can be a vata dynamic there. You see high forehead, then like wind in the voice, like kind of that airy, kind of airy voice a little bit. If you really pay attention to when I lecture, you can hear when I start to get vata out a little bit. So I'll be like, yeah, okay. So that's literally like, where do I go next? And let's see. Also very common for vata types are moles. Like a lot of vatas will have a lot of moles on their skin. The skin will oftentimes be pale and cold as well. thinness. They typically are taller, but not always. They can be just very petite and very dainty. They tend to have cold hands and feet, prefer warm drinks. They can have very disturbed sleep, like they wake up periodically or have a hard time falling asleep and so everything with vata is that it's changeable. Everything comes and goes, whereas like kaphas have like a really like they don't need to eat that much, but their digestion tends to be pretty consistent. Like pittas need to eat a lot and their digestion's really fast. Like vatas, it can like change. Like they have diarrhea and loose stool, and then they have constipation, and then they're really hungry, and then they don't want to eat anything, and then they forget to eat. And like, so it's everything moves. Everything's moving around with vatas. Like everything's constantly changing. Symptoms that come and go, etc. So some of the emotional, psychological dynamics that we see with vata is that it, what are you guys seeing? A little deer? Baby deer? Nice. Where's my TA? Go get my bow and arrow. Oh, it's bad. I'm sorry to the vegetarians. It's bad, I shouldn't have said it. We could. Yeah, I don't, but we could. I'm not as good enough of a shot with the bow and arrow quite yet. Huh?
Is Jay good with the bow and arrow? Is that why you say get my TA?
No, I was just saying because mine's in the house. No, Jay's pretty vegetarian, I'm pretty sure. I've seen him eat meat a couple times, but he tends to keep it pretty veggie.
Well, I like the vegan.
Yeah.
I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, right. Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. I know. We planted some fruit trees and they've been nibbling on them. I got to get fences up. I'm like, damn deer. They're very vata animal. So it's a great example of a vata. The slender limbs, the prominent joints. They have that like nervousness, right? That fear kind of thing, right? So. Right, yeah. So with the emotional, psychological dynamics of vata, we see that they really easily adjust to change. So they're really like, vatas are really good with the kind of going with the flow. Right? They're like, oh, what? We're going to go over there? Cool. Let's go there. Oh, we're not? Okay, that's cool. Let's do something else instead. Whereas a kapha is like, what? We're going over there? I don't want to. Oh, what? We're changing that? No, we're doing that? No. Like, whereas the pitta is the one that's like making all the decisions, right? They're like, we're going over there. Well, we're not doing that. We're going over here, right? And so it's good to study them all in comparison, right? Like I always kind of like to joke around with talking about the doshas, because we all know people that are embody all these characteristics, right? So I always like to use the metaphor of like how Vata, Pitta, and a Kapha clean their house.
Yeah.
Did I use that last time? Okay, I won't do it again. Oh yeah. Well, any threefold pattern is going to have some sort of relationship. I'm not really too familiar with the.
I feel like they're. Neither am I, but just like thinking kind of like a little bit vaguely of their like characteristics.
Right. I'm sure they.
That one Pitta and like the Vata.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
What would be the Pitta, because she's like the leader.
Uh huh.
They would be the Kapha, you know. And then Larry would be the Vata. Yeah.
Nice.
And he's like, okay, let's try this. And I was like, just do this, and you're doing that. Curly's just like, I just need to eat.
I just want a sandwich.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The three doshas of the three stooges. That's pretty good. So I think I might have given you guys the Lord of the Rings example in the last class. I didn't. Okay, so we have Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli. Right? Gimli, the stubborn dwarf, Kapha dwarf, is like, all stubborn and like doesn't want to do things certain ways. And it's kind of slower and heavier and has that little bit more of a Kapha constitution. Then you have like Legolas, the like nimbly elf who sees far and can like skip up giant elephants and like, you know, and it's kind of has that visionary gift, you know. And then you have Aragorn, like the Pitta, the leader, the king, right? Who's like, the king of kings. So that was, I don't know, I always like to joke around. I actually did that in a video one time. I was like, I had to do it. I was like, all right, I'm gonna show you what a nerd I am. The three principles of the Lord of the Rings. But you see it, it's archetypal, right? So you see it, you see those three characters pop up so often in stories and myth and all that. So, okay, Vatas. So on the one hand, they can get really spaced out and ungrounded, get really nervous, really anxious, and get in that fear state. But these are also our creative visionaries. These are the people that are very creative. They have that mind that can like really kind of go out there and be inspired and kind of collect these like newness. They can be short of memory, they can be a little bit forgetful and spacey, but are also very, oftentimes very quick to understand things. Like they oftentimes have a very quick intellect. They'll be like, oh yeah, I get that, okay. And then you ask them a day later about that, they're like, I don't remember. Because they're like, their mind is so active, they're like, oh, on to the next thing. It's like all moving around. So they can be indecisive as well, and we'll see Vata imbalances, really like musculoskeletal tension, cramping, spasm, and then that anxiety in the mind and the nervousness. What is that smell?
Yeah, I know.
Who did that? What is that?
Not so much.
Oh, it smells great.
Yeah. That's nice. You're like, you really nice. Well, then I'm like, it's not me.
That's nice. So the main.
No.
Oh, I'm familiar with that product. Yeah, those guys make great stuff.
I have to go milk chai and I feel like it dries my skin out.
So. Okay, so the main site of accumulation of Vata is the colon, the large intestine. Makes sense, as the large intestine is prone to gas and wind. And it is primarily cleansed from the body via enemas. Oil enemas are the main way of purging excess Vata from the body. And there's this great formula in Ayurveda, Dashmula. Dashmula, I believe, is 10 roots, I believe is what that actually translates to, 10 roots, dashmula. And you'll cook that into a tea, a really strong tea, and then mix sesame oil with that, and then do an enema with that, and they say that cleanses Vata from the colon and That's a really good thing to do in the autumn, like transitioning out of the autumn. Yeah, because the autumn's the vata season, so do that kind of towards the end of the autumn to cleanse excess vata from the system. It really settles the nerves, calms the mind. It's actually quite nice. But you gotta hold it in there for a long time, so it's a little difficult.
Is there like a specific name for that type of animal?
Well, I believe it's called Basti. Basti. I'm pretty sure it's called Basti in Ayurveda. But that would just be like a medicated oil enema. Okay, five airs of vata. Oh, okay, the colon, the hips, the thighs. And we have the five airs of vata. We have first and foremost the air of respiration. This is what we call prana. So this is the first air of the body. Dwells between the diaphragm and the throat, as well as the brain. Also has to do with chewing and swallowing and the rejuvenation of every cell in the body via respiration. And they say the colon is directly connected to this air as it extracts the prana from food. Facilitates all movement in the body. Prana sustains the heart, the arteries, the veins, the senses, and the wisdom faculty. So we see that air element relating to the nerves. When out of balance, we see respiratory ailments, heart disease, digestive problems, joint pain. And prana is all about cultivating witnessing consciousness, the watcher on the hill. Okay, we have the air of the throat, udana. This is the air of ejection, which moves up and down. Whereas prana moves down and in. So udana provides us with vocal powers and clarity of the senses. So there is where calamus operates on the udana, the air of the throat. Preserves memory, and they say it counts our breaths. So they say in Ayurveda that we're given a certain number of breaths in the moment we're born, and the udana, they say, counts your breaths. Teaches about the principles of vibration and the cosmic memory of the birth of creation. Pretty powerful. We have the air of the stomach, samana, located between the diaphragm and the navel. This is the air that moves food through the stomach and intestines and fans the digestive fire. Transports nutrients throughout the body, delivers waste products to the colon. So, if we notice, we have vata, pitta, and kapha in the stomach, right? We have a fire of the stomach, a water of the stomach, and an air of the stomach. Now, when they say stomach, I think they really mean the whole digestive system, but that's important. That's a really important point. So we have the fire there, the digestive fire in the stomach, but then also have the water to temper the fire, but then you have the air that fans the fire, right? So then we have apana, the air of the colon. This is the downward moving air of elimination, which is what relieves the body of feces and urine, etc. This is considered one of the more dominant of the airs and teaches about non-attachment and how to let go. Then we have the air of circulation, vyana, which is located in the heart, diffuses energy from food and breath throughout the organism. We also say this air controls sweat, blinking, and yawning. Just see if anyone started to yawn.
Definitely
aware of my blinking. I used to have this PE teacher that he was always constantly blinking because he was a goalkeeper on a soccer team, and he said, "You can't." He's like, "You can't." He's like, if you blink at the wrong moment, and they shoot the, and they kick the ball, then you're gonna miss. So he would blink all the time. He like got in this habit of like constantly blinking, so he wasn't like that. And then we're like blink really slow and like miss it, you know. Wonder if he had circulatory problems.
Yeah, I think he had messed up once and was self-conscious.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. The team shamed him for that one goal. And he's like, yeah. I'm never blinking again. Or I'm going to blink so much that... So the Vata pulse is the, they call it the snake pulse. The slithering snake pulse. So it's the index finger position. They say that it tends to be fast, kind of feeble, thin, like a thin pulse and kind of slithery and irregular. Remember, vata is constantly changing, so an irregular pulse, or what they would call an intermittent pulse. Dun, 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 dun. So it's good to take your pulse in different charged state. So if you ever find yourself becoming acutely stressed out or anxious, it's like, oh, quick, take the pulse. See what it feels like. Of course, those are usually the moments you never think to do that, but. God, I'm all emotional, upset. Gee, I should take my pulse right now. It's like, what are the odds? So the tongue, we're going to see thin, dry, and cracked. And then the main thing there is a quivering pulse. Now, an important thing is that typically when you read a pulse, or when you read a tongue, I say pulse and a quivering tongue. So if someone sticks their tongue out for long enough, it's going to start to shake a little bit. So you typically, when you're reading a tongue, you want to have them stick it out for just a couple of seconds, put it back in, and then stick it out again. Because, you know, you hold your tongue out long enough, it's going to start to quiver. But if the tongue comes out and it's shaking like that, that's a vata pulse, right? It's that wind, that wind's moving through there. So, okay, signs of aggravation with vata, we're going to see dryness. Dry hair, dry lips, dry skin, scalp, a desire for warmth, spasm, tremors, muscle tension, tightness. A big one is abdominal distension, bloating, gas, constipation, just fatigue, low energy, insomnia. A big one there, low back pain and arthritis and joint pain. That's a key thing of vata, especially people that like have really cracky, poppy joints. Like I have really classic joints. Like if I rotate my wrist the proper way, I can show you guys. They call it air in the joints. So, right. So that's all. That's vata in the joints. So I have vata problems. My vata is so out of balance. So then we have like mental confusion, spaciness, ungroundedness, all vata dynamics. So the things that really imbalance vata is cold, dry, uncooked food. And this is the paradox of the raw food movement, is that most people that are drawn to raw foods are already vatas, right? Because they so want to like ascend, right? And they like that dry, that lightness, and they like the levity of it. But it's like the worst. It's like from an Ayurvedic perspective, it's like the worst possible thing, because they tend to already have like a little bit of a spleen. From a Chinese perspective, a spleen qi deficiency, and then you dump a bunch of cold raw foods on top of that already deficient fire, and it just makes things worse. So excessive movement, like traveling, like being ungrounded, not being in one place for long enough, constantly moving here and there and traveling on the move, cold windy weather, excessive like sensory stimulation, like too much loud noises, loud music, drugs, sugar, caffeine, alcohol, like a music festival. It's like so vata deranging. It's, you know, and you know, in my line of work, seeing, you know, traveling to a lot of different, there was a period where we were doing like a lot of different events throughout the summer, and I would see the same people. You know, we would go sometimes like 6 weeks, 8 weeks at a time on the road doing all these events. And we'd see the same people at all these, traveling to all these different places. And every time we'd see them, they would be really high on drugs or drunk or something like that. I'm like, oh man, that's just got to be really, really hard on the system. All the movement, all the stimulation, the sensory stimulation, not enough sleep. So those are some of the aggravating factors that, and then astringent and bitter things aggravate vata as well. Balancing tastes are sweet, sour, and salty, according to Ayurveda, especially salty. Salty is really good for vata. Helps them retain more water, grounds them out. Salt is a really grounding force. Sometimes if you're ever feeling really anxious or tense or stressed out and you don't have any herbs, just take a thumb dip of salt. It's amazing. Like a good sea salt really ground you out. Really, really ground you out. Kind of brings you back into your body. Okay. Malas are waste products. The urine is often scanty. Feces are dry and hard, small in quantity. They're going to tend towards constipation. They can tend to have difficulty sweating. The autumn is the primary season associated with vata, as well as the early winter. So in Ayurveda, they have, obviously, India has a very different seasonal cycle than we do here. So typically the way I think of it, the way they talk about it is there's an early winter and a late winter. So the thing, autumn is primarily ruled by vata, and then early winter can relate there too. But then the key thing is that vata governs the seasonal transitions. I think I mentioned that the other day. Seasonal transitions. And that's when people get sick, right? Because that certain dosha accumulates during that season. And then if we don't expel that accumulated dosha efficiently, the vata winds blow. And if that dosha isn't moved out appropriately, it'll get stuck. And then it'll create a sickness. And I saw that a lot when I worked in the supplement industry. I saw that was when people came in when people get sick. Do you see that in your herb shop much there? Like people come in right when the seasons are shifting. So management, we want to keep them warm, keep them calm. Having a regular routine is really good for vatas, and keeping them hydrated with water and oil. Vata plants tend to be tall, thin, and airy, lots of space between the parts of the plants, spindly, light, delicate, feathery, dainty flowers, dainty. Everything's kind of small and dainty and thin and delicate. Then we can see many are calming, nervines, carminatives, antispasmodics. Any questions? Went through that really quickly. The combinations, right. Okay, from the beginning.
What do they eat?
Right.
They
manage. So I love all this because it gives you a structure for how to start to learn how to manage yourself, right? And it's like, you can go, Ayurveda goes into so much depth where they look through every single food and determine the vata, pitta, kapha factors of food. So this food increases vata, decreases pitta and kapha. This food does this. So you can really start to dial in and refine what foods work for you, what kind of lifestyle works for you, and how to keep yourself in balance throughout the seasons. All really good life skills.
I've
brought my book.
Oh, great.
Here that goes through the specific like dosha combinations and all the foods.
Great.
And everything that you were just talking about. And I'll leave it here if anyone
wants. Awesome. Cool. Life of Balance, that's the Maya Tuardi book. That's all on Ayurvedic dietetics.
It's great.
Yeah, and I can bring up her book on Secrets of Healing, which goes through all like really specific healing protocols. I've never seen a book that gets quite that detailed with it. She's got a lot of really good info on Panchakarma and stuff in there. But yeah, she's great. I really like her. She cured herself of cancer with Ayurveda. So she's worth looking into. Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for rocking out late night lecture with me here.